Thank the Gares again for the message and song, and thank God for the thought of Calvary. We direct you to that place and to the Saviour of the cross this evening. I wonder, could we turn in our Bibles for scripture reading just at this stage to Luke's Gospel chapter 15. And we're going to read from the first verse of the chapter, Luke's Gospel chapter 15, and we're going to read from verse 1 of the chapter. Luke's Gospel chapter 15, and reading from verse 1. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. And we'll end our reading there, knowing the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his precious and infallible word to our hearts for his name's sake. Can we just unite, please, in a word of prayer? Our loving God and our Father, we thank thee for the messages and song this evening. We thank thee, Lord, for thy blessing even in those messages. And we pray that thou wouldst even direct our thoughts and our minds to Calvary. We thank thee for the one who died there in our room and in our stead. And we'd ask that thou wouldst bless even the contemplation of thy word, and that thou wouldst speak to us in it, and that the sinners might be brought to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and as their Lord. O God, bless us now and encourage us from thy word, and speak to us in everything, for it's in Jesus' precious name that we'd ask these things. Amen. Look at verse 10 as we want to take us my text this evening. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. I want us to take our eyes off the things of earth for a few minutes, and I want us to look heavenward. I wonder what you think of when we mention the word heaven. We have all sorts of conceptions and thoughts about what heaven is like. We read in the Bible about the splendor of heaven, how it is a place which is of gold and jewels and pearls. We think of the beautiful New Jerusalem that comes down from God out of heaven. And we read how its walls are of precious stones and its gates are of pearls, and the walkways and the roads are of gold and streets of pure gold. We read that there's no temple in heaven. And why is that? Because the Lamb is the light thereof. Well, what a splendid place heaven is. There's no night there. There is no need of sleep, for the labor is over and it's a place of eternal rest. Not only do we think of the splendor of heaven, but we think of the sanctity of heaven. It's a place of holiness. Nothing that defiles will ever enter into that place or mar it in any way. There is no worry in heaven because there is perfect security. We are enfolded in the arms of God. Nothing will be able to get in there and will be able to disturb our rest or disturb our sleep. The worries and the fears of this old life will all be washed away. And we'll be able to sit down there. And not only do we think of the splendor and the security and the sanctity of heaven, but we thank God for the Savior of heaven, for we will see Him face to face. And we will sing the story, saved by grace. And that is why heaven is such a sweet place at the end of the day, because the Savior is there. The Bible tells us that in His presence there is fullness of joy, and at His right hand there are pleasures
forevermore. And when we think of fullness of joy, heaven is the place that we think of. It is the place that our minds are directed to. And what a blessed thing it is to think of the joys of heaven. But you know, as we look at this portion of Scripture and think of our text, we think here of special joy in heaven. You know, a place, it is a place of joy. It is a place of splendor. But it says here that there is joy in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repents. We think here of a party in heaven, a time of unusual joy. For thank God that sinners are being saved by the grace of God. And this is a wonderful comfort to those that work and labor for to see souls saved. Because as you go out to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ, very often they give you no thanks. Very often they despise you and want nothing to do with you. But thank God heaven registers with joy the salvation of one soul. And for those that are in our meeting and are not saved, we thank God that there is a joy in heaven. Here's an encouragement for you to be saved. For the mighty God of heaven, and we're speaking about God. We're speaking about God and the saints of God who rejoice in heaven. That over you in this meeting, there could be joy this evening over the fact that you have repented. That there could be a party in heaven over the fact that you have come and put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it is in heaven. That's how heaven counts the conversion of one dear precious soul. You mightn't think much about yourself this evening. You might think that nobody cares for you, thinks about you, has any thoughts concerning you. But if you were to be saved, there would be a party in heaven of your eternal salvation. So this is a wonderful thought. We think of the special joy day in heaven, and I want us to think about that thought for a few minutes this evening. Now, first of all, as we think about the joy of heaven, I want you to think about the cause of heaven's joy. It says there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. What causes this joy in heaven? Well, we're told in the text of Scripture, it is over one sinner that repenteth. That's what brings joy to heaven. That is what brings blessing and joy and brings song into heaven itself. The fact that one blessed sinner comes and bows the knee at the foot of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you notice the singularity of the joy here. It is joy over one sinner. Just one. And you think of the individual here who is saved. Every time the Lord Jesus sees a sinner come to faith in Him and put his trust in the Savior as his own and personal Savior, there is joy in the Savior's heart because he sees the fulfillment of what he came to do there on the cross of Calvary. And he sees that one for whom he died, brought from nature's darkness and placed into his kingdom, and he becomes his and he's born again of the Spirit of God. And the Lord Jesus is concerned about one sinner. Now that's remarkable. When you think of the millions, you think of the multitudes in this world, you think of those that cover the globe in every clime, in every country, in every sort of circumstance and situation. There are those that are rich and those that are poor, and there are those in all sorts of situations in life. But God is interested in the ones. God is not just interested in the multitudes. Oh, what a marvelous thing it would be if multitudes were to be saved. If God is rejoicing in heaven over one sinner, what must it be in heaven when multitudes come? What must it be in the days of revival when there are hundreds and even thousands swept into the kingdom of God? My, what a high day that must be in heaven. But thank God that even over the one, if there was one in this meeting who came this evening and put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, even in Crossgar and County Down, the heavens would rejoice over you. Now that's a wonderful thought, because the God of heaven is interested in you. Christ is interested in those for whom he died on the cross of Calvary. So this joy is over one sinner. We see the singularity of the subjects of heaven's joy. But also, you know, there's the sinfulness of the subjects of heaven's joy. It is one sinner. Now, that's a wonderful thing as well. How would heaven rejoice over a sinner? Sin is something that is repugnant to God. We're told in the Bible that no sin will ever enter into heaven. For God cannot look upon sin. God is repelled by sin. Sin is the very thing that is separated between us and our God. It is something that God cannot look upon and abhors with a perfect hatred. Sin is something that defiles men and women and boys and girls. But here we're told that there's joy in the presence of the angels, joy in the heart of God, and joy in the hearts of the people of God who are in heaven. There is joy in heaven over a sinner. Now it is a sinner, as we'll see, who has come and put his trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. But nevertheless, God is interested in sinners. And that means that he's interested in you. Because we're all sinners. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now there are many people that would reject that and would try to tell us that they're not sinners. And there are people that I have met, and quite sincerely, they believe that they've never committed a sin. Well, they think that a sinner is a person that has done something vile, something that you be put into jail for, some murder, or they have been thieves, or they have been involved in immorality of the grossest kind, or they have been liars, or they have been violent, or they have been impure, or something else along that lines. But men, women, if you say you have no sin, the Bible says you're a liar. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So you are a liar if you think you're not a sinner. But here's the wonderful news. God has come and prepared a way for sinners. And if you will realize what a vile wretch you are in the sight of a holy God, and if you will come humbly and bow your knee before him, you can be saved. And cause there to be joy in the presence of the angels. And so we see the sinfulness of the subjects of heaven's joy. And the singularity of the subjects of heaven's joy. But look at this. Notice the sorrow of the subjects of heaven's joy. It is one sinner that repenteth. Now there is the crux of the matter. Heaven's joy comes not over every sinner. Because all sinners are rebelling against God. They're raising their fists in the sight of a holy God. But the Bible says, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. You've got to repent. You've got to come and show sorrow for sin. You've got to bow your knee before him and accept him as your own and personal Savior. Men and women, will you not repent today? What is repentance? It is turning away from sin. It is seeking the Savior. It is calling upon the name of the Lord. It is a forsaking of your sin. You've got to repent. Because if you don't repent, what does it say? Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And the Bible speaks about that place of eternal damnation and that place of eternal hell. And I've got to tell you that that is real. And maybe you have shut up your mind. Your conscience is seared with a hot iron. The Bible speaks in the book of Ephesians chapter 4 of those that are past feeling. Maybe you've come to the point where you're past feeling your sin. You've come to the point where you have, as it were, your heart is hard as a rock. And men and women, if that's your situation, I despair. I despair of you. And with all my heart, I cry unto you and I plead with you to get right with God tonight. If God is speaking to you in any way, flee to Christ. Flee from wrath to come. And come to the place where heaven can rejoice over you. There is joy in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repents. And we see the cause of heaven's joy. One sinner. Will you be the one? Will you be that one sinner that comes this evening? Will you be that one individual that comes? And we don't need a multitude. We don't need three or four. Will you be the one that comes this evening and seeks the Lord Jesus Christ, whom to know is life eternal? Heaven's joy. But then I want you to see the character of heaven's joy. What does it say here? It is joy in the presence of the angels. And we notice some things about this joy. As you look at that portion of Scripture, you can see, for example, that it is great joy. As we said before, if it is joy in heaven, and it is specially pointed out as being joy in heaven, heaven's a place that is always joyful. We are in the presence of God when we're in heaven, and that is a place of fullness of joy. But when it says that there is joy in the presence of the angels in heaven, it must obviously indicate that this is great joy, special joy, bliss above bliss. It is something beyond the normal full joy. Now, how can you get something that's beyond full? Well, we can't really explain that. But could we say maybe it is just joy that flows over? It's overflowing joy. And it comes in such a torrent that it just flows over. And down the celestial hills and into the valley, there comes the torrent of unusual delight. And the songs of the angels burst forth. As men and women come to Christ, it's absolutely unbounded joy. Dear friend, I want you to think about that. You think of what it means for a man or woman to get right with God when you think that this unbounded joy takes place in heaven. You ask yourself why it is. Why is it that in the heavenlies, in the place of joy, your salvation could bring about this unbounded and full joy above all that has been before? Well, could I suggest to you that it is a joy of knowledge? Because in heaven they know what it is, really, for a sinner to get saved. They know the horrors that are faced, the hardships that are faced by those that go down to a Christless eternity. And when you have a knowledge of horrors and what a person is saved from, you're able to rejoice more. You think, for example, of the widow. Or not the widow, the lady who greets her husband who comes back from the war. And you can imagine the little children, they run and they get their daddy by the feet and they are full of joy. They love to see their daddy again and they're rejoicing that their daddy is home. But then you think of the wife, and not only is she glad that her husband is home, but she remembers those nights when she lay and she thought about her husband under fire. And the rockets and the mortars flying overhead, and those days when she knew that he was going into enemy territory, and those days when she knew he was in special danger, and she knows what he has gone through and what he's been saved from. She's heard about his colleagues who came home in coffins. She knows about those widows of her friends who have lost their dear husbands. And because she has a knowledge, her joy is all the more. And in heaven, men and women, they know what you are being saved from. They know what you're going to. That's why the joy when you get saved. That's when they rejoice. When you come to Christ and find Him as your own and personal Savior. That is why the joy. Because they know the absolute horrors of that place of eternal and absolute pain. And this is a joy of knowledge. But not only is it a joy of knowledge, but it is a joy of birth. You think of the birth of a young baby. And of course that brings joy to the mother and father, and brings joy to those around to see a new life that has come into the world. And thank God this is the joy of birth, because there's a new birth. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And we become part of the family of God. We're enfolded in His family and brought in, and as a newborn child we enter in. We are born again. We've been translated from death to life. There's life within us where there'd been death. There is light where there'd been darkness. Surely that's a cause of joy. And God has changed us, and with the peculiar joy of a heavenly father. Any father rejoices over one that has been born. But our Heavenly Father has a specific love, a peculiar love that is His own love. And He loves His children, and He loves to bring them in. And this is a joy of birth. And not only is it a joy of knowledge and a joy of birth, but it's a joy of wealth. Because when we're brought in, not only are we brought into a family, but we're brought into a family beyond compare. We thought about the riches of heaven. We thought about the inheritance of the saints. And I've often said that those who are saved don't know the many blessings that lie ahead of us. We think of that day when the Savior will come again and the saints will be with Him. That day when our Savior comes back, you'll be there. You'll be a witness, an eyewitness to the mighty events in Jerusalem when the mountains split and when Christ comes and establishes His kingdom, and you will rule as well. And you will rule as well. What bliss, what bounty there is to the child of God. And this is great joy. This is great joy. Not only is it great joy, but it is God's joy. You notice that it says it is joy in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repenteth. It is in the presence of the angels that the joy is found. It is God's joy. God rejoices. Now the angels and the redeemed stand and they rejoice. Of course they do. But the joy here, firstly and foremostly, is the joy of God. Because God has planned salvation and God sent His Son and the Holy Spirit applies the benefits of redemption to His people. And God has worked and God has made His plan of redemption and He brings men and women to Himself and He sees the fulfillment of the plan. And this is God's joy. In the book of Zephaniah, we have the picture of God's joy and He says, that He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in His love. He will joy over thee with singing. God joys over His people with singing. Oh, to hear the singing voice of God. I wonder what that is like. To think of God singing, and yet He does. And what does He sing about? You and me, if we're saved. That's what He sings about. Isn't that amazing? To think that God sings and that He sings about His people. This is God's joy. And not only is it great joy, God's joy, but it is the glorified people's joy. Because you'll notice that in the parable here, it speaks in verse 9 of how the woman who finds the pieces of silver, it says that when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. And the people gather together, and her neighbors and her friends come in, and they rejoice. And I say that in heaven, God's people are rejoicing over sinners that are saved. Now, we're often asked the question about whether people in heaven know what is going on earth. Well, this is one thing that they do know. They know when people are being saved. Now maybe somebody up in heaven has prayed for you. Somebody that has gone on to glory and they prayed for your soul and prayed that you might be saved. Maybe it's a grandmother or a grandfather and maybe you didn't even know them. But when you were born, they prayed for you and asked the Lord that you might be saved and washed in the precious blood of the Lamb. Maybe it was a great grandmother, a great grandfather, and they only lived a few years after you were born, but they prayed for you. If you were to be saved tonight, they'd be rejoicing in heaven. They'd be rejoicing over their prayers that have been answered. There are many parents, and they've gone on to glory before they saw their prayers answered. But see them, they did, and God stepped in and drew precious souls to Christ. There's a man that I know, and a number of men that I know, who came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. This particular man I'm thinking of. At the funeral of his mother. Mother prayed for him all her life. Mother prayed for him, 40, 50 years. She never saw him saved. But on the day of her funeral, she was rejoicing in heaven that her son that was lost had been found and brought to the Savior. Somebody been praying for you. They'll rejoice in heaven tonight. They'll be singing up in glory to think that you have come and put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we see the character of heaven's joy. It is great joy. It is God's joy. And it's God's glorified people's joy. But then could I think about the conclusions of heaven's joy? Because as we look at this joy here, there are certain things that we can see that are taught to us in it. We see the holy people of God, the holy angels, and God Himself glorifying the rejoicing here in heaven. Now, when you see these people rejoicing in heaven, you can see that this is not a premature joy. Now, I want you to see that they rejoice when God's people are saved. They don't wait until they're glorified. They don't wait until the day they get into heaven to rejoice. They rejoice on the day that they are saved. Now, you know the point I'm getting at. Let me make it clear to you what I'm trying to say. What I'm trying to say is that when they rejoice, they're rejoicing over somebody that's been saved for all eternity. See, it's not a premature joy. Obviously, God, as it were, well, God obviously, and the people of God and the angels of God believe that when a person is saved, they're saved for all eternity. They're not jumping the gun. We have the old saying that you don't count your chickens before they're hatched. And it would have been an awful thing if they rejoiced over somebody that had been saved, and then down the line they became unsaved, if that was possible, and they'd gone back into the world and were not saved and never ended up in heaven. That would be premature rejoicing. But you see, the angels and those that are in heaven believe that when salvation is brought to men and women, it is salvation for all eternity. The Arminian would have us tell the angel not to rejoice too much in case they might perish at the end, that they should temper the song a little bit, because it might be that at the end of the day, those that are saved might be lost somewhere down the line. No, heaven doesn't believe that. Heaven doesn't believe that. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And if you're truly saved and washed in the precious blood of the Lamb, we're kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be received at the last day. God will keep us. God will surround us in His love. God will never let us go. And not only do we see that salvation is eternal, but we see the interest of God in the individuals here. And we see here that God looks down upon individuals, and not only does He save individuals and rejoice over individuals, but obviously He sees our lives. The Bible says, He knoweth the way that I take. Now, God is able to rejoice over one sinner when he repents. That means that God sees that individual. God sees us, and He knows exactly when every individual comes and puts his trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. He knows the way that we take. He sees us now. He sees you now. The psalmist was able to say, if I ascend up into heaven, Thou art there. And if I make my bed in hell, behold, Thou art there. And if I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall Thy hand lead me, and Thy right hand shall hold me. See, you can't escape from God. Can't go away from the gaze of God. God looks down upon you, men and women. God sees you, men and women. He sees what you are. He sees where you're going. He sees what you have done. We see that heaven's joy is a joy that is based upon knowledge. He sees us. He can see you when you come to Him. He can see that you're saved and washed in the precious blood of the Lamb. Men and women, we think of heaven's joy, a place of eternal joy, a place of full joy. But here it is superabounding joy. It can be a joy over you if you will repent and put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And then you can joy. Now, I know that seems a bit of a contradiction, because when a person comes and repents, it speaks of sorrow. But when godly sorrow is complete, it brings in a perfect joy. A joy of sins forgiven. A joy of peace with God. A joy that is eternal. And no matter who you are or what you have done in the past, God can give you that superabounding joy. C.H. Spurgeon told the story of a poor, neglected little boy who used to run the streets in London, was involved in crime, and was heading towards a criminal life. Well, one day he was passing a humble room where some men were telling the gospel and teaching the ragged children the things of God. And he stepped in for a minute and began to listen as they taught the things of God. And he heard the story of salvation. He heard the good tidings of great joy, and it intrigued him. And he heard how Jesus Christ receiveth sinners. And that little boy ran home. And he had a drunken father. And he had a carnal mother. But there in that ragged home, in that humble home, in that humble that place where there wasn't anything of godliness, that little boy bent his knee and accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. And there in that humble place, in that hovel, in the streets of London, that little boy was saved, and there was joy immediately in the courts of heaven where that poor ragged orphan. And a procession of priests might have passed by that day. There might have been a glorious procession of the nobility of the land. Would have meant nothing to heaven. Wouldn't have caused joy in heaven. But there was joy over that poor ragged little boy who came to the feet of the Savior. Can there be joy in heaven over you? There will be if you'll come and seek the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior tonight. Do what it says. Repent. Repent. And call upon the name of the Lord, and He will save your soul. May God write His word upon our hearts for His name's sake. Let's just bow in a word of prayer. Our loving God and our gracious Father, we thank Thee for Thy precious word tonight. And O God, we thank Thee that there's joy in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repenteth. O God, give grace of repentance tonight, that men and women might call upon Thee and seek Thee as their Savior for Jesus' sake. Amen. If God has been speaking to you, and if God has been dealing with your heart, then call upon the name of the Lord tonight. We're turning to Him.